verses 22-41. Hear the word of the Lord. But if you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments that the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by Moses from the day that the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then if it was done unintentionally without the knowledge of the congregation, all the congregation shall offer one bull from the herd for a burnt offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord with its grain offering and its drink offering, according to the rule, and one male goat for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for all the congregation of the people of Israel, and they shall be forgiven because it was a mistake, and they have brought their offering, a food offering to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their mistake. And all the congregation of the people of Israel shall be forgiven, and the stranger who sojourns among them, because the whole population was involved in the mistake. If one person sins unintentionally, he shall offer a female goat a year old for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who makes a mistake when he sins unintentionally to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the people of Israel, and for the stranger who sojourns among them. But the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native or a sojourner, reviles the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be on him. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to the whole congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, as the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord and to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would use its reading, use its preaching to work sanctification in our hearts. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. We have been chronicling the journey of Israel as they have left Egypt. The Lord has brought them safely out of bondage all the way to the foot of Sinai, where they spent approximately a year preparing for this wilderness journey to go in and take the promised land. And within just a few days of beginning their journey, the murmuring and the complaining and the jealousy and the disbelief began to set in, and this all culminated in this great act of treason, this great act of rebellion, when they were on the very threshold of entering into that promised rest, and the majority refused to believe God's promise. And we saw last week that the Lord promised that they would not enter into the rest, that a generation would die, that if they wanted to turn back and go back to Egypt and go back to the wilderness, that that's exactly what they would do, and that they would die in the wilderness. And then the very next word that's recorded out of the Lord's mouth, we saw last Lord's Day, chapter 15, verse 2, When you come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you. And we saw again that wonderful truth that from eternity past, God had decreed to save his people from their sins throughout future generations of human history. And thanks be to God, because we are the recipients of that grace this morning. You and I, as believers in Christ, recipients of that covenant faithfulness. And though a generation would die in the desert, a faithful remnant would be raised up. And we saw the fellowship offerings in the first part of this chapter 15. And the beautiful picture of the Lord sitting down with his people to sup in peaceful fellowship, and the pleasing aromas of the cooked meat and the grain and the wheat and the wine. Very similar to the covenant meal that we will enjoy with our Lord in just a few moments. Well, we come to the end of chapter 15 here, and there are more laws about offerings. And in particular, there are two types of sins that are mentioned here, the first being unintentional sins in verses 22 through 29, and then beginning in verse 30 of chapter 15, the category of intentional sins. Unintentional sins and intentional sins. We begin with the unintentional sins, and in one sense, of course, we would say that these sins were not exactly unintentional, not totally unintentional. If we're honest about it, surely we would agree that sin is rarely, if ever, completely devoid of intent. At some level, we invariably know that what we are doing is wrong. But the point of this category is that it's easy to fall into sin. In fact, we would say that it's inevitable that we will sin, whether it's out of ignorance, whether it's out of just failing to do what we should do, a sin of omission. You see, sin comes about as natural to us as breathing. Of course, we rarely set out to sin as believers. We rarely set out with our goal to say, I'm going to sin. But as long as we inhabit these earthly bodies, we will find ourselves carried into sin. Careless thoughts, acts of passion, forgetfulness, ignorance, all of these sins that may not be purely intentional sin on the surface, but they flow out of this war that constantly is waging within us between our sinful natures and our transformed hearts, that war that Paul so eloquently describes in Romans 7, that I do that which I do not want to do, and I don't do that which I know I ought to do. And that is always waging within the believer as we work out and battle for our sanctification and growth and holiness. But you see here in our passage that it's ignorance and careless thoughts and acts of passion and forgetfulness, spiritual blindness, deadness, guilt, sin. These are the things that God came to save his people from. Even for unintentional sin, or perhaps especially for unintentional sin. That sin that reflects its the very core of our nature. And the way of forgiveness is stated as plainly as can be. Look at verse 28. The priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who makes a mistake when he sins unintentionally, to make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. See, sin can only be dealt with in one way. There is only one remedy for sin, and that's through the shedding of blood. And once again, you see, whether you're an Israelite or whether you're a Gentile, that truth remains the same. He says in verse 29, "You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the people of Israel, and for the stranger who sojourns among them." And this remains the case for us today. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your line of parentage, fellowship with a holy God is only possible if our sins are atoned for. And as the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You see, that's why the cross was necessary for our salvation. God cannot simply pretend that our sins do not exist or that our sins do not matter. In order for us to be reconciled to God, the blood of a perfect sacrifice had to be offered in our place. And all of these sin offerings of the Old Testament are pictures preparing God's people for the cross. All of the blood of the bulls and the goats, all pointing forward to the final perfect sacrifice, which atoned once and for all for the sins of his people. That is the message of the book of Hebrews. That is the message of the entire scriptures. And whether you're an Israelite in the Old Testament or whether you're a New Testament Christian sitting here this morning, we look to the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. The people in the Old Testament looking forward through the signs and the pictures and the types of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats, all pointing forward to the cross. And then us today looking back to the cross through the lens of Scripture, where we have the full and glorious and wonderful revelation of God's plan for salvation completely laid out for us in the gospel in these last days with the coming of his Son, all pointing to the atonement of the cross. And then in verse 30, we have the second category. The other obvious case of sin is that which is totally intentional. Literally here, sins with a high hand. The picture here is of a fist lifted up in defiance against heaven. This is open, knowingly, deliberately, defiantly committing sin, and in the process challenging God to do something about it. Look at the attitude. Verse 30, he says, this person reviles the Lord. And then in verse 31, this person despises the word of the Lord. This is a picture of proud defiance. One who regards God as unworthy of obedience. Or perhaps one who believes the commands of God are arbitrary and unreasonable, too confining. Or perhaps one who just mocks the idea altogether of God or commands or absolutes or enforcement. Proud defiance, deliberate disobedience with a fist raised to heaven. And for such sin, there's no atonement. Notice there's no atonement for this category of intentionality. The only thing that's mentioned is excommunication, verse 31. Put out from the body, put to death. And then he gives an example in verses 32 through 36, an example, a case study. And I know we read this case study, and to our modern ears, it may seem unfair. that a man be stoned to death for picking up sticks. But you consider this in context. This man is not being put to death merely for picking up sticks. This is an example of the exact intentional, high-handed, defiant, proud, deliberate sin that he's been describing. This is an act of willfully blaspheming the Lord. This is high-handed rebellion. This is a man who knew the penalty for breaking the Sabbath, who knew the command that the Lord had issued, and in a defiant, premeditated, flaunting way, he goes out brazenly in front of everyone, in front of the community of God, and he breaks God's law and is dealt with accordingly. Well, we're pressed for time this morning, but that's okay because the message here is very clear. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. What you have here at the end of Numbers 15 is not so much two categories of sin, but two categories of response. Either, on the one hand, you are a sinner by nature, and you recognize it, and you look to the blood of Christ in repentance and humility to deal with it, or, on the other hand, you are a sinner by nature, and you continue in your denial and defiance and pride and go on mocking God. You see, either way, it's just a starting premise that we are sinners by nature. And either way, God will not be mocked. Blood will be shed. It's just a question of whose blood will be shed. And this highlights the importance to us of repentance as the pathway to forgiveness. Defiant sin, on the one hand, leads to destruction. And repentance and humility, looking to the blood of Christ for atonement, on the other hand, leads to forgiveness and life. See, a repentant and contrite spirit is the exact opposite of a proud and defiant heart. And when we approach God with such a spirit of humility, when we approach God in humble reliance upon Him, when we approach God broken and contrite, we find Him more than ready to forgive even the most heinous offense. You see, that's why someone like King David, who committed high crimes, adultery with Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah, but he could come before God with a broken and contrite heart. And as we read in Psalm 51, find forgiveness and acceptance, reconciliation with the Father through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. A gross sinner who repents is welcomed in, while others who commit apparently much less serious crimes, like picking up sticks, but have hardened hearts, defiant hearts, stiff necks, remain unrepentant and are cut off forever. And the question is, what is our response? Where do we look to deal with our sin? Is it to ourselves? Or is it to the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible does not tell us so much about our sin just to make us feel bad, to beat ourselves up, to let us know that we are lost and condemned and hopeless. That is part of it. But every sin in Scripture, all of this sin and judgment that we've been reading about in Numbers in particular, is recorded to point out our need for a Savior to take away our sins, the need for a Savior to give us a new heart, the need for a Savior to atone and to cleanse us so that we may believe in Him, look to Him for forgiveness, and find eternal life as we live for Him. And that's the purpose of the tassels at the end of the chapter here. These ever-present reminders to follow the Lord's commands rather than fallen human inclinations. An ever-present reminder of who we are by nature and where we must look for our salvation if we are to have any hope. And the blue tassel, the color of priesthood, the color of holiness, this constant reminder of who we are by God's good grace, and therefore who we need to be. That we need God's word written on our hearts and our minds, and that the demands that God makes upon us are grounded in His act of redemption. Look at the very last verse. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage to sin. I am the Lord of your God who saved you and brought you out of the bondage of death and hell and corruption. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage to your fallen humanity to give you eternal life and hope and an eternal rest. And if you understand that the salvation that God has accomplished for you in Christ, and if you understand that you were once dead in your transgressions and your sins, but now have been made alive by grace, then you will seek after Him with a repentant and contrite and broken heart, pleading the mercy of the cross and following after Him and obedience. That is who we are. That is what the Lord has done for us. That is what He has called us to do. May we find the strength by His Spirit and His Word to do just that. Let us pray.